Let's stand and call one another to holy worship. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
May the Lord bear peace in our hearts.
May the whole earth be filled with God's peace. Amen. Hymn number 131. Glorious song of old, from angels heard in all the earth, to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to all, great news of joy we bring. The world in solemn stillness lay, to hear the angels sing. Through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babel sounds the blessed angels sing. And you beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing with painful steeps and slow, look now for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold. Peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and all the world send back the song which now the angels sing. Amen. You may be seated. Invite you to a time of prayer and a special time in our congregational life. where we try to center ourselves for a few moments and hear even a single word to us that God may be speaking to our hearts, that may give us direction, a sense of peace, especially this day when we are to remember peace and as we await the full redemption of creation. I invite you to this time now, first silently and then together as we pray for wholeness. So let us bow our heads in holy prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Let us continue in prayer. God of peace, grant us the strength to rise again when we fail to live righteous and just lives. Give us the clarity of purpose we need when we let ourselves be distracted by lesser things. Help us to confess the ways we separate ourselves from you and from our neighbors. Restore us, redeem us, reconcile us. Amen. We do serve a God of peace who seeks to break down the conflicts within and without. A God who seeks to work peace with justice. A God who seeks to give us a sense of strong inner peace in the full confidence of God's redeeming work. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are a holy and forgiven people. We can be forgiving and we can be at peace with one another. Amen. To God the Creator and to the Christ and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and forever. Amen. And this day of all days, it is most appropriate for us to pass the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another.
please join me in the prayer for illumination. Holy God, open our minds to your eternal word and fill our hearts with reverent, awe-filled thanksgiving. Amen. The first scripture lesson comes from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The second scripture lesson comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of our heart allow in the transforming, creative word that is your Son. Amen. As I was preparing for this sermon this week, this notion of crossing the river came to mind. And what does it mean to cross the river? And it means a couple of things. It's been used a couple of ways. Of course, we sometimes hear this as the image of passing from this life into the next. We have crossed the river into eternal life, perhaps. I even remember as I did some family history at some point, I looked at the When I was looking for one of my ancestors, an obituary or something in an old paper from the early 1900s in Tallahassee, and he made the front page down at the bottom, but he made the front page. And he had fought at Gettysburg, and it said, "Another Confederate crosses the river." And I thought, wow, I don't know if that's something to really be proud of or not, that my Confederate ancestor, who obviously fought on the wrong side, and especially in this week when we were remembering the work of Nelson Mandela. And as I grew up in the South and was in the U.S., certainly grew up in the U.S. version of the race conflicts that beset our country. But another Confederate crosses the river. But rather than just thinking about crossing the river as something that about passing from this life into the next, it's also used sometimes to mean something more profound. From a moral standpoint, we have crossed the river, moving from one type of life into a new type of life. We have left an old life behind and have embraced a new way of life. I watched this morning just a little bit, there was a little story on Hispanic evangelicals, and they interviewed this woman who had been addicted to drugs, had been a prostitute, and engaged in all kinds of illegal activities, and she had embraced a new way of life in Christ, and of course had become very important in the ministry of this particular church. It's a very powerful little story. But we move from one type of life into a new type of life, a transformed life, being touched by God's grace in a special way. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now can see. And the reason I'm bringing all this up is because John was at the River Jordan. The Old Testament-style prophet was at the River Jordan. And in our scripture, it says that John was in the wilderness of the River Jordan, a very desolate place, away from the cities, away from the Roman Greek culture, a very symbolic place for John to carry out some kind of ministry. By going there to the Jordan, John was calling the people of Israel, the people of Judea, back to their roots, back to their story. This was not just any old river that he was asking them to cross. He was reminding them of the story of the Jewish people, that they had been delivered out of the oppressor's hand in Egypt. They had wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and finally they crossed the River Jordan into the promised land. Aren't we all looking to cross into some sort of promised land? And in calling the people to the wilderness, John was making a political statement as well. He was calling them to a new exodus in the midst of Roman oppression and Herod, the puppet king. He was calling them to a new exodus from an oppressive power. And that is what connects these scriptures to our theme of peace today. Sometimes we, in our culture, we like to over-spiritualize, individualize these things, and we think that somehow God is only interested in our personal, but it's also this other. John was making a statement to call them back to their roots, away from this oppressive power. And in calling the people to be baptized, he was calling them to reenact the crossing of the river. When the people of Israel stepped into the water of the Jordan as they crossed into this promised land, as problematic as that is as an image for our current kind of justice issues that we try to address in the Middle East, crossing into the river of the promised land, if we think about it at least symbolically, God calling them to a new life with God in a new place. It was an act of trust when they stepped into that water. A scary kind of thing. What was ahead for them? As they stepped into the water, John, as he baptized them in the water, he was calling them to repentance, to reject the ways they had been defiled by the culture, harmed by the oppressive power, the way they were embracing that. He was calling them into new relationships. If you were in my sociology classes, I would say something about our neoliberal consumer culture that somehow calls us to something beyond what we understand as right living. This notion that if we buy enough or have a big enough house or we trust in the market in an overly trusting way, everything will be fine. Just as in all eras, the church speaks a bigger truth, that it is our relationship with a loving, infinite God, infinitely loving God, who helps us walk into this new life. So in this passage from Matthew, John was calling them to a personal commitment, a new self-identity. And I know we are all in the process of crossing the river, if you will, embracing this new identity. And it was also calling them to a new community. I'm not saying anything new here. To be a Christian is more than just your own spiritual advancement. It is also to redeem and reconcile this world. And then we move to the letter of Paul to the Romans. And he was writing to a community that was filled with conflict. Various kinds of groups were at odds with one another. And Paul was calling them to harmony. And what I loved about this scripture as I read it was this call to harmony and unity, Paul said, was the work of the Spirit. When John called the people across into the water to recross the River Jordan, they didn't know what kind of life they were entering. Jesus provided the substance, and Paul helped them understand what that meant. To be united with one another, to break down the dividing walls that separated us. John announcing the Jesus revelation was coming, Paul telling us what the Jesus revelation was to be about. The essence of the Jesus revelation: creation, reconciliation, redemption. To work for peace. That God was not interested in all these divisions that keep us apart. Earlier in the week, I was reading about John Perkins in Mississippi, a Christian activist in Jackson, Mississippi, who worked hard to and is still working to create the beloved community. Whites and blacks in the civil rights era that were at odds with one another, creating a new kind of community to witness to God's peace, and helping blacks and whites to understand that all are in need of God's redemption. And that is the substance of what it means to be a Christian. When I came to this church many years ago as a member, I remember there was a sign up there. I wanted to look around for it today, hanging up there, and it said, "Peace with Justice." I don't know if any of you have been around a long time, remember that sign. But that's the first thing I saw when I came into this sanctuary. And I knew that this was a good place for me to be. But Perkins worked hard as a peacemaker. And here we have, I don't think it's any accident that Nelson Mandela passed away this week. We have in our example one of the great peacemakers of our time, and he passed away. He almost died a month or two ago, didn't he? He passed away this week, the week of peace in Advent. It seems very appropriate to me. A man of peace who I believe understood profoundly what it meant to do the work of peace, how important that was to making Christ present in this world. I heard a great quote this week as there's another show on Jews and Christians and our common roots this week. I don't know if any of you saw this on PBS this week. But there was a rabbi, I didn't catch his name, but I was watching it, and he was talking about this notion of the Messiah's return. And of course, the Christians will say the Messiah's return is the second coming, and the Jews will say it's the first coming. And this rabbi was imagining that the Messiah has returned, and the Jews and the Christians are all there, and they're at a press conference, and somebody asks the Messiah, "Is this your first coming or your second coming?" And so that the Jews would feel justified if he said it was the first, and the Christians would feel justified if it was the second. Who is right? And this rabbi had a great take on it, and he said, "I used to think I knew what the answer was, but now I think God will say, the Messiah will say, 'No comment.'" And they say no comment because he says we will all realize that we were both involved and others involved in the work of infinite love with God. And whether it's the first or the second coming, we are all called to engage in this work of infinite love and to be amazed, absolutely amazed, that God chose us as incomplete, failing beings to help bring in this marvelous thing, the redemption of the world through love. I was very moved by this. We are such partial people. And we must rely on one another and recognize that all of us can fail. But we come together today because we celebrate the God of peace, who has ultimately is breaking down the dividing walls of hostility between us. The walls that say who is in and who is out, who is right, who is wrong. The God who brings us toward the vision of a more inclusive and more just world. A God who says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for you shall be called the children of God." Blessed are you, John Perkins in Mississippi, in the work of breaking down the hostility between blacks and whites in this old southern city. Blessed are you, Nelson Mandela, for working so hard to break down the walls of apartheid in South Africa. And I want to say, bless you, Clarendon Hill Faith Community, for you have for decades now committed yourself to the work of peace with justice. It is the deep soul of this congregation, I believe, to be involved in that work. And I believe God blesses you and will bless us as he blesses all peacemakers in this endeavor. So God bless us during this time of Advent. May we bring peace ever more present into this world. Amen. Amen. Still working on that. A song from the South, perhaps, "When Peace Like a River," number 438. Verses 1 and 4. Peace like a river upholds me each day, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well. It is.
is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen. Please be seated. I put in here, remembering Nelson Mandela right now, I thought it was a good thing to do. The Presbyterian Church leadership sent out a message of call for prayer today across the church, and I have, do you have the insert, I believe? You can pray along. I will start it. There are three of the members of the congregation will stand up and read sections of it as we pray. So I just ask you to bow your heads as we read this and read along, if you will. But is there any, does anybody wish to say anything about this man today? Our friend Wellington, who is not here today, I suspect he is at a special service somewhere, would be my guess. He is from South Africa and grew up under apartheid. So I'm sorry he's not here today, but I think I know where he is. So, but we can keep Wellington in prayers for what he had experienced and the work of Nelson Mandela in ending that. Does anybody else want to say anything? John, I know, reminded me that Nelson Mandela came to Boston in 1990. Does anybody remember that? And knew some people who had gone to that. But let us, after we pray this, we will sing hymn number 437, which John and the choir will sing through one time, and then we'll sing two verses of it. So let us pray. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who from now on die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Ever-living God, whose countenance greets us at the birth of life, whose love accompanies us in our laboring days, and whose gracious welcome grants us the final rest at the twilight of our years, we look to you in this hour, as did your servant and our brother, Nelson Mandela. And to your eternal comfort, gracious Lord, we commit his soul. We're in your everlasting abode, in your very heart, he finds his peaceful rest. Let us pray together the last paragraph. In life and in death, in body and in soul, we belong to you, loving Lord. So in this hour, unite us in prayer as we grieve with the Mandela family. Accompany them with your generous and embracing love in their hour of mourning. Turn their weeping to singing, their downcast heads to dancing, and keep alive in their hearts and in ours your vision of a better and just world, even that same dream that you placed upon Nelson's soul, and for whose labors we trust you will offer the word, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In the name of your servant's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you. Let us, we now have prayers of the people. Are there prayers of celebration and concern that we can offer up? Yes? What? Oh, the hymn. Thank you. Sorry about that. I even picked it, right? Okay, so the hymn. Thank you, Randy. Number 437. Fight, we have only started, we have only started, we have only started, we shall not give up the fight, we have only started, we have only started, we have only started. Up the fight, we have only started, only started, we have only started. We shall not give up the fight. We have only started. We have only started. We have only started. A victory hand holding hand, hand, hand holding hand, hand holding hand. Together we'll have victory. Hand holding hand, hand holding hand. And holding hands. Amen. I should have given a little better directions there, I think. So thank you, Rand, for reminding me. That is a South African hymn. I don't know if I said that, but prayers of the people. Are there prayers of concern celebration today? Mark?
We have a celebration to share. Solomar and I are expecting our second child.
Oh, wow.
So Vale's going to be a big sister. And I'm just coming out of the first trimester now, which has been a little rough with the morning sickness. So we're praying that the rest of the pregnancy will be a little bit smoother. But keep us in your thoughts.
Well, someone else from us able to play with, ultimately. So, last week they won. They had a good time downstairs with Vale. So thank you. Congratulations. Yes, Mark?
On the subject of children, not me, but my sister is due theoretically tomorrow. So
wow.
That's exciting. And yeah, don't know the gender, but it'll be fun.
What's her name?
My sister's name is Jane.
Jane, okay. Sounds good.
Thank you. Going for the trifecta, my nephew's partner, Allison, will be having a cesarean section birth tomorrow at Mass General. So prayers for my nephew, Jay, and his partner Allison and their son John and all the family.
All right. Any other prayers today? I started late, so maybe everybody's ready to go. We'll All right, well, let's. This is a good thing. We'll pray for three births here in the Christmas season. So let us pray. Gracious God, we ask your blessings upon these children who are about to enter into this world. We pray that each of them will do well, be well, and grow strong, and they will come to know you in special ways. We pray for their families. We ask your blessings upon all of them, that all will go well medically, and that the families will all rejoice in their arrival. Gracious God, we ask your blessings upon this special Christmas season. Help us to be people of peace, and help us to look to you for all our needs. Help us to pray the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Announcements. I also wanted to thank the people last week who stayed after church and helped put everything up. So it looks very nice, and just thankful for that. And Arnie, our church sexton last night, was here finishing putting up everything outside. So if you get a chance to ride by here at night, you'll see the church very lit up. So it looks very nice. So are there other announcements? Session meeting tomorrow night. And, oh, there is one I have to say before I forget. As the, Randy, what's that festival called again? The
Anderson's Good Cheer Festival.
The Good Cheer Festival, it starts at?
It's at 8 o'clock, I checked it.
8 o'clock. Well, we'll send you the information, but see, Melissa and I are hosting a drop-in before that over at the manse. So if you were coming to that or just want to come over to the manse to see, we'll be like from 6 to 8 probably, I'm imagining.
But the date is the 21st.
The what?
The date is the 21st. It's not this Saturday. It's the following Saturday.
The Saturday, the 21st, yes. So we'll do that. So we'll, more information will be coming, but we'll have a drop-in for that. Yes. Ruth, I think.
You have the chance to enjoy fellowship with the Clarendon Hill community. There'll be a group of us going over to Zoo Lights that Diane has helped arrange for us at 5 o'clock. More information in your gold insert. And we're going to meet here at 4:30 if you'd like to do that. If people want to just come to the potluck that's going to happen afterwards and need a ride, meeting here at 5:30. So a number of us are going to help with carpooling and things, so would love to have as many folks as possible, and more information in your insert.
Yes, all are welcome. Please come.
We have Horizons Bible Study this Friday at 3:30 at my house.
Okay.
And actually, there isn't an announcement insert, unfortunately, and that's my fault, so I apologize. So if you need more information about the Zoo Lights, please speak with Ruth after the service. Next Sunday, we will be doing our It's a Wrap Party. The tree over here in the back of the sanctuary has tags on it for gifts. We are providing Christmas for two families from through some of our early Head Start. They are both single moms with children, and they're both living in shelters, in homeless shelters. So if you haven't gotten a tag yet and you'd like to participate, please do so after the service, and there's a little sheet of paper underneath that explains what to do about the gift. Next Sunday, during our coffee hour, we'll be wrapping any gifts that aren't wrapped and getting those all ready to go. So please plan to join us for that as well.
The wraparound sale to benefit the Somerville Coalition for the Homeless continues this weekend and next weekend. And I'm sure there will be somebody around after coffee hour who has arrived to open the gallery and make it possible for you to purchase anything that you find that you wish. But this will be true also next weekend, next Saturday and Sunday, and that Sunday is the end next week.
Some beautiful stuff in there if you haven't walked in there to see that. So. Anything else? Thank you, Craig, for all your work on that. No thanks to Staples, but yes. Anything else? A lot of announcements today. Well, Christmas Eve service is at 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve. And John, I haven't asked you, but I'm assuming you know about that. And we'll have a, yes. Anything else? All right. Focus on mission today. Does anybody have it? Oh.
For the next couple of Sundays, we'll be collecting a Christmas joy offering. That's one of the special offerings that we take during the course of the year. By giving to the Christmas joy offering, you provide opportunity for education. The monies are split evenly between Presbyterian, ethnic-related, racial, and ethnic schools and colleges, on the one hand, and the assistance program for the Board of Pensions, which is also a very noble effort there. One of the students at one of the schools was saying, I would not have been the same person now that I was 10 and the same person I'll be 10 years from now if it wasn't for the Manoah School. These two brothers, Tony and Andre, are in the 8th and 10th grade, respectively, at a Native American school. They share Native American, or Blackfoot Indians, Polish, and African American descent. That's quite a combination of things. They believe their lives would have been much different without the opportunity to attend the Manoah School, an independent faith-based school that works to ensure racial, ethnic, and cultural diversity in the classroom. In the public school, I barely passed sixth grade, getting no attention at all. I felt like the dumbest person in the class, Tony said. At Manoah, I found I was expanding. The classes are small, and it's really easy to learn. We exist to give folks like these two young men the attention they need to grow, said a history teacher and the director of student development, Tony Williamson. It's a really good environment, and the people are really accepting, the other boy said. Your gifts will go to this. Now, we've all heard stories over the past many years of many of the Native schools forced by governments in the U.S., Canada, and Australia, and other countries that forced Native students into these schools, where often they were subjected to physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, and probably didn't learn much of anything. These schools that we're talking about today are very different from that, and certainly are very worthy of the support that we can offer them. You can directly give to the joy offering that we'll be collecting over the next couple of weeks, or logging into presbyterianmission.org and giving in that way.
Thank you, Bill. We haven't found the envelopes yet. We think Ellen, we don't know if they're here or not, do we? Because they may not have arrived. So they will be in the pews the next couple of weeks, we trust. So let us now take up an offering for the work of this church and the church in the wider world.
expected Jesus, born to set all people free from our fears and sins. Release us, grant us your true liberty. Israel's strength and consolation, hope to all the earth impart. Dear desire of every nation, enter every longing heart. All people to deliver, born a child you came to reign, born to rule on earth forever, come be known to us again.
May you have peaceful lives this week. May you impart peace whenever you get a chance. Now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.